The Afternoon Drive Show on Impact 103.
Of course, today is a special day. The matric results for the class of 2022 have officially been released, and there's been celebrations happening since this morning, since last night in actual fact, with some of the top achievers of South Africa being celebrated by the Department of Basic Education. And families across South Africa have been celebrating today, and they will continue to do so into the weekend as they start and gear up for their tertiary studies. But at the same time, we are aware that there's also learners and students and families that they are not having a great celebration right now, because unfortunately, things didn't end as well as they hoped when it comes to the results of their matric year in 2022. Whether it be because they didn't get the admission level that they wanted to, the standard of passing, or even the results that they hoped to get, or worse off, that did not make it to actually pass their matric year. And as a result, there's a lot of people that are navigating and trying to figure out how to go through this time as a family. Joining me this afternoon is Counselor Director for Focus on the Family, Anthea Nagor, who is going to be speaking to me about how do we navigate this specific place, which is most sensitive, difficult, and not many people are insightful or knowledgeable, rather, about how to go about this. Anthea, thank you so much for making time to be with us on the Afternoon Drive today.
Good afternoon, Kosi. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, this time of the matric results is time that is very high and very low emotions. It's a very extreme emotions time. What are some of the trends that you've seen when it comes to the mental health of young people and or parents during this time of matric results that are being released?
Yes, it is, Kosi. So we can see that it has been stressful with the long wait of matric results. And for many matriculants, it's been actually a roller coaster of emotions for the entire matric year, you know, from the very beginning to starting, and just the emphasis, you know, that's placed on doing matric itself and on these results, which can cause stress and anxiety. So we do see anxiety go up. And, you know, anxiety has different levels. So, you know, and there's definitely some normal sort of anxiousness that, you know, goes with waiting for your results. But with others, there is, you know, actually high and severe anxiety where some the uncertainty is very real. And the career paths could be just unknown, or just the expectations that were not met. Because we know all eyes are on matriculants, and often, you know, you are asked, how did you do? Or, you know, how were your matric results? So I've got 3 distinctions, and, you know, it may be that that child is just an average learner. So we do see this in terms of just anxiety, depression, and we know that suicides do actually increase during this time, sadly.
And that's one of the things that I wanted us to chat about, you know, because we are aware of, I mean, I remember it from when I matriculated. Already then it was quite a big thing, and the world wasn't as accessible as what it is right now. What do you say to parents? Because I can't imagine the internal conversation and dialogue that parents are having during this time as their learners didn't do as well as they hoped for. How can they support their children during this time? Maybe let's talk about parent to child. How can they support their children during a time like this, whether they didn't pass their matric year or they didn't get the marks that they were hoping for?
So parents can play a huge role. Parents really can. And I think the emphasis here is on support. And so we see that where there's parent disconnection with the parent and child, that really is a risk factor for anxiety, depression, a negative self-talk. So being supportive towards your child is really important, you know, assuring them that, you know, no matter what, no matter what the result is, you're going to be here before the result and you're going to be here with them after that result, no matter what. So supporting them, because also preparing them ahead of time can lower their anxiety as well. And so parents also have anxiety as well, I'm sure, about, you know, their teen's results and maybe the expectations. So parents also have to be able to manage their own anxiety and be able to resolve those before interacting with their teen, and not going into, you know, conversations with their teen just assuming we know how they feel, but rather sitting down and having conversations and hearing their feelings and talking through what are the options now, reassuring them it's not the end of the world. There are other options, and how can we figure it out together?
Yeah.
And also what parents can do is share with their teen when they had a failure or a disappointment in their life. And often that helps the teen to just relate to the parent and open up more. But reminding them that our identity is not based in on our achievement.
Yeah, sure. I love that very much in terms of, you know, being able to say, hey, this is where I've also failed. That point of relating and the connection that comes from that. Yesterday, we had a conversation with Melissa Mashaba from the South African Depression and Anxiety Group. And we're talking about the importance of communication between parent and child. But now there's an emphasis towards parent to child. But let's talk about the parent as an individual for a moment, because there's probably a lot of parents, specifically with the class of 2022, that had an unprecedented amount of trouble trying to make it to their matric year, from COVID-19 hitting in grade 10 in 2020, all the online learning they needed to do, all the school days that they needed to miss. Parents had quite a big role to play in making sure that their learners are keeping up to the curriculum, are performing as well as what they did prior to COVID, and whatever other pressures that they needed to now suddenly pick up over and above work responsibilities. Meaning there's a possibility, I mean, right now, that there's parents who are feeling responsible somehow because of the turnout of the results and whatever they may be seeing their children go through. I mean, what do you say to that parent? How do we support that parent? What are some of the things that this particular parent should take note of in themselves before they are able to, you know, get to their children, like you rightfully said?
Absolutely. And I think it's normal to feel responsible in some way, because parents are responsible for their children's lives. You know, God has asked us to steward children's lives. So also there's that external pressure that parents face from other people and just the community, you know, in terms of comparing results. So parents are also dealing with that and facing that. And I think, as I said, you know, it's important, you know, for a parent to model to their child or teen how to manage their own stress, how to manage their own anxiety. Because often, if you have a child with high anxiety in a home, it's often a parent around, either one or two parents around, that is also dealing with anxiety. So modeling is really important in the home as a parent to their child. Bringing in that sense of calmness and peace in the home really helps the teen being able to resolve and manage their own anxiety and stress. And as a parent, if you're really struggling, to be able to even model getting help for yourself, you know, if you're really struggling, or just talking to a friend, talking to someone who can support you through that.
I love that very much. You know, it's really kind of the picture of family that we all hope for, that we all kind of see us go through life together, that ultimately the family unit itself first heals. Anthea, what about extended family? Because I think this is where they would also be keen to jump in and say, hey, how did you do? Because we all kind of wait with anticipation, because we know we've got a nephew or a niece or a cousin that is writing matric right now. What do you say to them in terms of how they can support once they hear the news that this child didn't perform as well as that they hoped, or didn't even make it to pass the matric year?
It's so important, because often, you know, when results are out, a person can get, either the teenager or the parent can get bombarded with these calls, you know, of just eagerly wanting to know, how did you do? So preparing the external family, I think that's how a parent can even put in a buffer for their child, you know, so not just letting that child get bombarded by calls or visits, but rather preparing the external family that, you know, if the results were maybe just a negative or failure in one subject, or not as great as the child expected to be. But really, even if it's just holding on with those calls as well, whatever needs to be done for the best interest of that child at that time needs to happen, and the parent can really help with that.
Yeah, that is actually a very good point that you're making over there, Anthea. Now, this is the unfortunate part of this entire situation. You alluded to it as we started this interview, is that we do know, especially during this time, with this particular conversation, unfortunately, there are cases where suicide becomes something that some learners feel is an option for them. And family members are uncertain, number one, how to navigate having that conversation and bringing it up and hoping not to sort of plant the thought if their child is not even thinking about it, but also if they are thinking about it, how to pick it up and how to navigate it. I mean, what do you say to parents and learners alike who are finding themselves in this very dangerous time? Is this something that's normal? Should parents be worried if they realize this?
So suicide is really a result of hopelessness. And often the teenager, you know, their brains, there's a part of their brain, the prefrontal cortex, which is not fully developed yet. So for them, they cannot think, they don't have fully yet logical reasoning. And so and that is why suicide seems like the easy way out or the only option, because they can't think beyond that situation. So it's so important for the teenager not to be isolated or to be left alone with their own thoughts. And an intervention needs to happen. So parents need to engage with them. They need to ask direct questions. They don't have to wait to, you know, but rather it's better to overreact than underreact. Mm. Because we know in the cases of suicide where we've seen that often parents have left it till it's too late. And it's just best to ask them, you know, to use language like, "Well, I've noticed that you are, you know, eating or skipping your meals. I've noticed that you, you know, going to the bathroom after supper a lot. Or I've noticed that you're spending a lot more time on your phone." You know, often the teenager needs to be heard, wants to feel heard and understood. So just by observing, really observing your child and just odd behavior, knowing and equipping yourself about what are the signs, what are the symptoms of depression and suicide, which is why we actually run a course on suicide prevention for the past 3 years to really help people prevent suicide.
Man, Anthea, this is amazing. And I think it also feels like it's that lifeline of hope that parents can be able to know that they've got. As we wrap up our conversation, Anthea, what resources are available for a parent who may be listening now, a cousin, an uncle, an aunt that may be listening to this conversation to try and help their learner in their family during a time of suicide? If they over the weekend hear that this is something that their child is considering, where can they go for help?
It is so important to rather not wait, but, you know, if your child is not speaking to you openly, you know, there must be someone that your child must be able to talk to, you know. So if they're not talking to you about their feelings and, you know, they've had negative results, it is a concern. You need to get them to a trained counselor, because a trained counselor will be able to help them in a safe and supportive way deal with those anxiety and those feelings and their thoughts that they are having. So it's really important to avoid the stigma of therapy and rather be able to be proactive and get them to a counselor or a pastoral counselor, someone who they feel safe enough to open up to and can ask them those questions that need to be asked. So we know where they're at.
Yeah. Anthea, thank you so much for your time. Really, really appreciate the work that you guys do and being able to be help and hope for many families in South Africa.
Thank you, Kosi.
That was Anthea Nagu, who is the counseling director for Focus on the Family, speaking all things matric results that didn't end as well as what we hoped for as families, how we navigate that time, and what are some of the things that we can do, some of the things we can look out for to make sure that we become that support for our loved ones.
The Afternoon Drive Show on Impact 103.